Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
9 o'clock on a day where we've spent a lot of time talking about the Red Wings. 9:35, we'll talk Michigan football. The sanctions handed down, punishment fit the crime. Do you even care? The Red Wings, season's over. They're not in the playoffs. The best postseason in all sports won't feature the Detroit Red Wings again. And as Greg points out, and I think he's doing this to be a good producer and not to be mean and rub it in, he points out that today is the 8-year anniversary from the last Red Wing playoff win.
We are going to have the Kane comments, and I'm just going to give you a little teaser.
Okay.
They're going to come up at about 9:18.
Yeah, we want to hear it in his voice, but give a teaser.
So he started the comments by saying this. Obviously, a lot can happen, but we put ourselves in a good spot, and I think we feel pretty confident about our group. That was February 25.
Dot, dot, dot. And that's why a lot of people are singing the praise of progress. They're further this year than they were last year. It's why I have a hard time with it, because true progress would have been following through on that promise. The promise of a playoff team, progress for this hockey team, playoff hockey back at Little Caesars Arena, back for the first time at Little Caesars Arena, but back in Detroit. 248-539-9797. Not a successful season to me.
No, anytime you come short of your goal, that's extending your season, making the playoffs, and making a run in the playoffs. And obviously the ultimate goal is winning a Stanley Cup. Now, there's nobody here that had that expectation for the Detroit Red Wings. But the expectation was set that this should be a playoff team. And then, or at the beginning of the year, it could be a playoff team. Then by the time we got to February, and we were looking at the fact that they were able to produce an offense that was varied. It could be any. It could be 1, 2, 3, 4 line. Doesn't matter. They have goal scorers on each of them. But then that evaporated. It went from we can score, it's just a matter of who's got the hot hand that night, to we can't score. And then it highlighted the fact that they could never really stop anybody, and their goalie was just insufficient.
It's Ken Daniels, by the way. And I love Ken.
Do you?
I don't know how to properly convey that as a young person watching hockey, falling in love with the sport, how many great moments Ken Daniels and his iconic goal calls, and Ken Cal too on the radio, but I didn't like that from Ken at the end of the game, and I get it. I don't get the whole, we'll take that. If you would have told me before the year on the final day, we'll take that, I would have told you, win the game. Show signs of real progress by getting in. Some ticket text. Today's Participation Trophy Society is attempting to bring their mentality to professional sports. Guarantee those players aren't happy with almost making the playoffs. Kevin in Tucson.
No, and we saw their motivation in the last few weeks, because when you make the playoffs, there are escalators in people's contracts. There are incentives in people's contracts. Yes, you get paid by the NHL more to be in the playoffs. You get extra paychecks, but your contract, and a lot of them, will have a bonus for making the playoffs or winning a playoff series. So the motivation, whatever motivates you, was already there. The problem is they just waited too late to flip the switch back on.
Texter says, now I understand why Valeni is the way he is. These fans are insufferable. We had 9 points clear. Expectations changed. The playoffs became a reasonable expectation. Mike can get kind of heavy-handed. I called in yesterday because he was being a little much. He was saying people who were celebrating or cherishing that win on Monday night were losers. I'm like, dude, come on. It's a big win. People are feeling good. The season's still alive. People have another day to still make the playoffs. People are feeling good. And he admitted, he goes, oh, I don't have any fanboy in me. I don't know how much fan is left in him. Like, your chest starts bumping when you're in a big game and a big spot. You got a chance to do it. I'm certainly not going to be as negative as Mike has been, but I'm starting to get that reputation for trying to fire guys. So, John, that's where I need your help. I could say I don't want Lalonde back, but then I'm a negative jerk. So could you say it so I don't have to? Or do you not agree?
I struggle with it, and here's where I struggle, is I've been a part of teams where they fired a coach after a year. I've been a part of teams where they fired him after 2 years. But it's in a different sport, and it's in a different culture and environment. In hockey, we've seen coaches get fired months into their job. We've seen coaches get fired mid-season, and the team goes on to do great things in the playoffs. And so I'm looking at it going, what type of team, first of all, if you go all the way back, what type of team and roster did Steve Yzerman inherit?
A lousy one.
Lousy one with lousy contracts. And it took him a long time to dig out of those. And he did have Blashill. Maybe he had him too long, but he didn't have a roster that was ready to win. So why go pay a coach when you know that the results, because of the roster, are not going to be commensurate to the talents of the coach?
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to walk myself and talk myself through this to where, yes, there are young players that, and what did we know about Lalonde coming in? He was good at developing young talent, and he's done some of that. But what did we also know? You mentioned it in the last segment. He was the one that was in charge of the defense down in Tampa. Well, where's the defense now? What's the defense when they needed it? When you're talking about, and it's not even at the beginning of the year, if they allowed a team to score, what was it, 4 points? They weren't going to win. It took them like 2 months to be able to win one of those games.
I know.
Guys, I mean, the last time we had such a collapse in Detroit sports was the 2013 Lions. They were 6-3. Jim Schwartz was the coach. They fell apart, went 7-9. You know, you could blame 1,000 reasons, but the Lions even put it on the coach there. And I think we would all agree they hired a better coach. I think that's one of the big things here is, do you have a better coach out there that you can hire? I would argue there is. Hockey, there's quite a bit of turnover in coaching. I see no evidence of why the team is any better under Lalonde than Blashill. I think the talent's improved, and that's why the record's better.
And that's a great point. Like, at some point, yeah, you acquire more talent, and you expect the team to be better because the talent on the ice is better. But you also have to have leadership. And is that leadership... That's got to be worth some wins. We talk about A.J. Hinch and how he is managing the lineup and putting guys in position, even though they're not hitting, to be able to score opportunistic runs to win games. What has what has Lalonde done, especially in that 20-game stretch where the skid started at the end of February to the beginning of April? What did he do to change the course?
Exactly. And the reason I brought up the better coach thing is because look what Caldwell did the next year. He got that team 11-5, probably the best Detroit Lions team up until last year. In the last several years, I mean, 20 plus years was that 2014 team. The coach made that difference because the talent on that team didn't change that much. I think they interchanged in Burleson and Tate. That was pretty much a wash. You know, and that's the question. Can another coach get this team to what, like Caldwell did with that Lions team? Can another coach get this team to a 6 seed next year?
So Ticket Texter says, everyone keeps saying before the season, but expectations change, have some pride. I feel like that's directed at Lalonde. I feel like that's the guy who has displayed the least amount of public pride. I can't speak to what takes place in, you know, behind closed doors. What I can speak to is the record the last two seasons. 7-16 last year, 8-15 this year. That's back-to-back collapses. That's a head coach who's presided over it this year with more expectations and a better, more veteran hockey team, and he didn't stop the bleeding.
Well, and
he didn't display some sort of, you know, pride or spine or belief in his hockey team publicly. And defensively, they're not good enough. It's not like the system, well, what if we overhaul the system? You could argue they should overhaul the defensive system right now. I mean, I don't know that there really is a case to keep Lalonde other than you're someone who believes this year was some sort of big step forward, and he was responsible for that. I feel like people feel like it's in spite of that, if there was any progress at all, in spite of the head coach.
And you talk about setting expectations. Whether Derek Lalonde meant to or not, he's kind of already set the expectation for next year, and that's New Jersey's going to be a 100-point team, but they might not be here, the Red Wings.
Right. Well, this is a great ticket text. I think Yzerman has to be disappointed in the season. He brought in his vets to make the playoffs, and a collapse like this is tough. I have a good feeling about the offseason. It's going to have to be a pivotal one for sure because you can't keep missing. 248-539-9797. But Yzerman's frustration in the season, that kind of coincides with what are they going to do at head coach? What are they going to do with some other roster spots? Kane is one of those discussions. Ben in Windsor, you got some thoughts on Kaner? You're on 97.1. Whoops. Hit the right button. Ben, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just looking at this Wings team, and I don't know where they're going to go from here. This is like the 18-wheeler going off a cliff from Brian Burke in 2009 with the Leafs. I mean, you got to re-sign Kane. He's on a cheap deal. He's got 1-year deal. They only have $2.5-3 million cap space. You got to re-sign Sider. I mean, Kane was a huge reason why they even got to where they are, and if they can't re-sign him, or, I mean, he's not getting any younger, where do they go from here?
I think he wants to be back. That's just my belief. No inside information. I think he really likes that this is a hockey city. He saw the buzz in the city. He likes to bring it. It's not like he came here with the idea they were going to win a Stanley Cup. He wanted to be here. I think they could bring him back and maybe even on, about 3 or 4 year deal, but could they get a 2-year deal, a little security for him? I think he proved the hip is okay, but it's going to be at a pay raise. And this is an offseason where Sider's going to get paid and Raymond's going to get paid. Now, in terms of what they can do, it's why the cop contract starts to look kind of rough. It's why you might want to explore a buyout for a hole. I mean, they're going to have to be some tough decisions. The years of having $30 million in cap space are gone.
Yeah. You're going to have to manage the roster. You're going to have to continue to develop players. You're going to have to make the critical decision on when's the right time to bring some guys up or to continue to let them season at lower levels.
And that may be some of the math here is, do you need to bring a guy like Perron back? Not necessarily. Sprong, do you need to bring him back? Do you fill those spots with younger players who you've been drafting for five and the summer will be his sixth draft? 248-539-9797. We got a bunch of phone calls to hit. We're going to get to Michigan football at 9:35. It's 97.1.
Hey, Ideal U helps you lose weight, and it helps you lose weight fast. You can lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days using real whole foods. So just listen, and I'll tell you exactly how that happens. That means you can lose 40 pounds before bathing suit season, right before Memorial Day. Sign up now, and you're going to get $200 in $200 Visa gift card. You can book your free consultation right now at IdealU.us. IdealU is different than other weight loss programs. It works, and it works fast. I lost 10 pounds in the first 10 days, so I was encouraged. I saw some progress, saw some immediate results, and then I've lost 60 pounds overall, and I've been able to keep it off by using real whole foods. It's not shakes or bars or prepackaged food. Ideal U works because they teach you what to eat and drink to lose weight. You're in constant contact with a weight loss coach on a daily basis. And once you've reached your goal, they're going to teach you how to keep it off. I'm 2 years into this, and I'm still down 60 pounds. Ideal U will help you lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days. Sign up now and get a $200 Visa gift card. Book your free consultation right now at IdealU.us.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
There's your full Patrick Kane quote.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't over-promising, but there was a quiet confidence to that. A kind of, hey, I've been around the block, and I see what I see, and I see a team that's good.
Well, and it goes to the mentality that was at the time. This was February 25 when he had this, and he was a very confident player at that time, too, as he should be, but he was on a seven-game point streak. So he was confident in what he was doing, back on the ice, comfortable. He was confident in the locker room, in the depth on the team. And this is still before Dylan Larkin got hurt.
Yeah. It's before the bottom fell out. We have I have an updated list of everything people have blamed for why they've missed the playoffs. Then we'll get right to the phones. Goalie situation. The Capitals game. The Arizona games. Waiting to call up Simon Edvinson. The patch. Stealing car flags. No deadline moves. Lalonde. A lot of Lalonde today. A lack of toughness. The San Jose Sharks' blown lead. Alex DeBrincat's vanishing act. The eclipse burning people's eyes. And the leap year. Leap day threw him off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you forgot the Kostolak.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget that one. That's a good one.
Implied with the Capitals game. All right, let's get to Rich in New Baltimore. Rich, good morning. You're on 97.1.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I feel like this team is at a crossroads. Obviously, I'm not happy with Lalonde. Hopefully there's a better option out there. But, you know, seeing Austin Zarnik, a fifth-line center between Kane and DeBrincat, why would Kane come back to that? And I put a lot of it on Yzerman, too, because I feel like Compher clearly isn't a second-line center. A lot of these guys, I don't see them coming back. Sprong, I feel like we got three defensemen, Wallman, Evanson, Sider. You can bring up Johansson. You know, just what's this roster construction going to be and what's the path forward? And is there a second-line center in the system? Danielson, is he going to step in and provide – the puck to DeBrincat and Kane so that we get the maximum out of them. I just feel like we got a lot of tough decisions to make. I could bring back Lyon as a backup goalie, but is Kosa ready? What do you do with Husso who can't get on the ice and we got another year left with them? So there's a lot of tough decisions to make and I don't feel as optimistic as a lot of people because I don't feel that Yzerman put us in a great position this year. I feel like Kotz a nothing burger, you know, all of it. So
yeah, this is a pretty good read of the situation. You want to talk up the middle depth, we'll start there. I got some thoughts on the goalie too. Up the middle depth, it's probably Casper and Danielson you're hoping long term can be a 2C, or I mean, hey, fingers crossed, their first round picks, maybe more, probably not next year though. And then you look at the fact that it is a glut of guys who are probably third centers. Compher has been a second-line guy, but he's fair to question him. And then the young guys, center depth, it's a bunch of 3Cs right now. The goalie situation, Kosa, it's probably a year away still. Does he get a sprinkle? Does he play a little next year? Maybe, but that means you're, again, once again, going Husso, Lyon, and maybe a third guy for insurance.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a year that you take a – the big leap is going to come from another leap from Raymond, full year of Edvinson – having a Casper or a Danielson or one of those guys, a Johansson, a young defenseman, step out into the light and play like a guy Yzerman drafted him to be. And it maybe Kane comes back and you have a little cap space and you make a phone call to Steven Stamkos. I don't know, but the idea here is it's got to keep getting better. You can't plateau here. Felt like falling just shy of the playoffs is being celebrated by too many people, and I appreciate a guy like that who calls in and says, it's not all rosy. I mean, there's still a lot of work that has to be done.
Oh, there's a ton of work. And I don't think anybody is denying that there's got to be work done. There's got to be work on the roster. There's got to be work on the staff. And if what's the reaction going to be to Red Wings fans if Steve Yzerman does the same thing that he did with Blashill and brings him back for another year? And we don't necessarily know exactly how many years are on his contract, but it was reported earlier that it was a 3-year contract. So he's going into the last year of his deal. He certainly hasn't warranted an extension.
Lame duck is weird. Not to saying it can't happen in hockey, but yeah, I mean, the alternative is you move on and find another coach. There's going to be coaches fired in the next week here or at the end of the playoff run for another team. Hockey turnover for coaches.
It's rapid.
Yeah. Adam and Dearborn, you're on 97.1.
Hey guys, I mean, I'm with you, Costa. Going 8-15 down the stretch when you have a 8-point lead and then the wild card chase, it's just unacceptable. But to be fair, I mean, this is the first time they've played meaningful hockey in March and April in about 8 years. I mean, I don't think the whole younger core was accustomed to it, and now they know that it's a different beast when you play that last month and a half. And like that last caller was saying, there's going to be a lot of roster changes in the next, couple months leading up to next season with the coach and even players. I think Yzerman needs to really look at his core and who he wants with this team. And I think he needs to make deals for, younger stars that are, or even veteran stars. You mentioned Stamkos. I wouldn't mind him here. I know he's getting older, but like they need to address the goalie situation, I feel like. And then also, I feel like the last month of the season, it's always been a talk of just like net front and presence. I wish Soderblom was up there or if he was ready, because I feel like he could be a really big piece in terms of being in front of the net and creating havoc.
Big body. He had debuted 2 years ago, it feels like. Haven't really heard from him since. Corin, you're on 97.1.
So I was thinking about 2 years ago. Lions in the season 9-8. They blow a game to Carolina. Now we win the game against Green Bay. We're 9-8. We started the season off 1-6. If Dan Campbell would have came out and said, "Hey guys, we overachieved this year," it would be a freaking uproar. I cannot imagine. I don't know how anyone can support this coach coming out publicly and saying that. If he's saying that publicly, what is he saying to the guys in the room? Right? And yeah. I don't know if you guys remember the first interview you had with him at the beginning of the season. You asked him about what expectations were, and he was really kind of choppy on that too. He was kind of like, just want to develop young players. You asked him if he thought the team had a chance to make the playoffs or if they could, and he was kind of like, he was very non-committal about it, even at the beginning of the season. So, to me, he's got to go because he cannot have a guy like that leading your room when you have a chance to win. Because if he doesn't adjust in December, January, February, when you have a chance to win, then how can you win with a guy like that?
It's a really good phone call. It's a really good phone call. Appreciate it. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, this is a cool story. A Genesee County woman was told that money was coming her way during a tarot card reading, and it turns out that she had a winning $500,000 lottery ticket right there in her purse. Didn't even know it. So this woman says that she purchases a ticket every week. She usually goes to the same store when she buys these, scratch-off lottery tickets. But this time, the time she won, she was on her way to this tarot reading, so she went to a different store, purchased a bunch of tickets, threw them in her purse, then went on her way to the reading. That's when she was told money was coming into her life. And she thought, how is this going to happen? I don't get how this is going to be possible. Went home later that day, scratched off her tickets, won $500,000. So she said,
wow.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So she said, this is it. This is exactly what it is. She says she's going to use the money to pay off her car, take a cruise with a friend, and then save whatever is left over. Pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Very, very cool. Not so cool. A pedestrian was hit by a vehicle and critically injured in the Shelby Township Target parking lot.
Mm.
Yeah, you wonder how fast this car
was going.
Yeah. They say it happened Sunday night at the store on 26 Mile near Van Dyke. The person was walking through the lot when they were hit. The driver did stay at the scene, cooperating with police. The whole thing still is under investigation. A Texas mom. She is behind bars after allegedly leaving her young kids home alone for almost a week.
A week?
While she went on a cruise.
How old are these kids?
Well, there's two of them, 6 and 8.
Yes. A week.
29-year-old woman. She was arrested on two charges. I'll tell you how she was handling it all. She was arrested on two charges of child endangerment after she left her kids home alone in her apartment in Houston for 6 days. So police say the kids were left home on April 4th, and police found them on April 9th after neighbors called to say, hey, we're a little concerned by what we're hearing going on in this apartment. When police got there, they said it was completely in disarray. Like the apartment was not together. There was also a strong smell of urine in the apartment because, yes, 6 and 8, you can use the toilet, but you might not be getting there overnight. Lots of issues, right, going on. They said there was trash and food scattered everywhere. And the kids said, hey, mom's on a cruise. We're just here by ourselves. The mom was trying to take care of them through a video. So she had a camera in the apartment. so she could talk with them and
she
watch
was there
them
virtually.
She was watching them over a camera while she was sailing in the Caribbean. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like she DoorDashed them food.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah. She was just watching them and could communicate with them through the camera.
So how were they eating?
So she would make sure that they were okay. Yeah. Okay. That they weren't
alive.
Yeah. Yes.
Yikes.
This is awful. So the kids have been removed from the apartment. They are now under the care of a relative. Oh, people. Yeah. People. After 13 seasons in the NBA, Blake Griffin is calling it quits. So he made the news official on social media, saying that he was thankful for a long and successful career. He spent more than half of his career with the Los Angeles Clippers. He spent 3+ years here with the Detroit Pistons, and then 2 with the Brooklyn Nets, and a single season with the Boston Celtics.
How do you view Blake Griffin?
He could jump.
Right, he jumped over the key at the dunk contest.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He came out of Oklahoma. He was a high flyer. What I remember, though, is his body broke down. He did evolve his game, and he became a little better passer, a little better shooter. He gave what was left of his knee to try to get the Pistons in the playoffs. It was the last time we had playoffs at LCA.
Yeah.
The only time we've had playoffs at LCA.
The only thing I remember about him is that he dated Kendall Jenner.
That's right.
And there was we might have seen her here in Detroit. I don't know if she ever came to a game or if she was spotted. That's the only thing. When I hear Blake Griffin, I think of the Kardashians or the Jenners.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, the hammer. Maybe more of a toy hammer. Laid down on Michigan football. We'll get to the sanctions, the punishment. Do you care? It's 97.1.
Hey, playoff season is here, both the NBA and the NHL. Baseball season's rolling along, so why not dive into the best pool in history? That's Stadium Swim. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino, and you can catch all of those, the biggest games that I just talked about, at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of the 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen at Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch all your sporting events. Swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop sports party every day. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, and it's located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
.3 seconds left. This team, right? But then seconds later, that team, the Capitals, empty netter. I know people go, why was the goalie pulled? Philly needed to win in regulation. They didn't know that they had already been eliminated. That's the situation. Of course, it's the most absurd way to lose. The Wings missed the playoffs by 1 point on the most absurd way in a tie game. A team they were scoreboard watching pulled their goalie and gave up an empty netter. Let's get to the phones, and then we'll talk Michigan football. Nathan, last word on the Wings today. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. So I have a weird kind of theory. Well, not a theory, really an outlook. One of my biggest complaints about Yzerman and the Red Wings is that they draft guys and they leave them in the minors to kind of over-ripen. My theory doesn't apply to goalies so much, but if you look across the league for the last several years, guys who spend 1 or less years in the minors have a huge chance to be a star in the league. Guys who spend 2 or more years in the minors can be an all right player, and guys who spend 3 or more years in the minors, I say they're in the category of don't unpack your bags. So you can look at it. It's true. And we have so many guys that are 2, 3, 4 years in the minors. And as far as I'm concerned, like that's an indictment on management. And I'm just really not as hopeful as a lot of Iserbots are.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think you're right. Like Sider flew through the system. Raymond flew through the system. Those guys look legit, right? Edvinson has flown through the system. It's the guys that end up there for 2, 3, you said more than 3 years becomes, okay, you're just a roster filler. You're just a depth piece. And you need those guys too.
But there's also a reason why they are and they don't become stars. They weren't stars to begin with.
Yeah. No, exactly. They were never expected to be. They were third round picks or fourth round picks. You need some to fill out the roster, but everybody questions where are the stars coming. got to be guys like Edvinson and Raymond and Sider, and the other first round picks they've made are Kosa, the goalie. Goalies yep. take a minute. Danielson and Casper, the centers up the middle. Those guys got to be not just roster filler third line guys, but second, and hopefully yep. one could be a top
high producers.
Center. Exactly. And then there's this Axel Sandin Pelikka, who everybody loves, offensive defenseman from Sweden, another first round pick for Eisman. Those are the guys that got to pan out and be stars. Like, those are what, 7-8 guys?
Yeah.
5 to 6 of them got to be like stars.
Yeah. And hopefully they are good enough to be able to fly through the system and be impact players as soon as next year.
Yeah. All right, let's talk Michigan football here. We've done a lot of wings today, rightfully so. This kind of feels like a Lions Monday, right? It's a postmortem, a lot to say, a lot of passion. Appreciate all of it this morning. Michigan football, I did want to get especially your thoughts on this, John. Michigan admitting it was more than a cheeseburger. Go along with the NCAA. They've admitted some wrongdoing. They've been punished with probations, fines, and recruiting restrictions for incidents involving COVID recruiting and coaches who were working outside of their parameters.
Yeah.
Okay. Do the punishments fit the crime? And then bigger question for you and all Michigan fans. Clearly, you can't claim you're a clean program, but do you really care when it leads to winning a national championship?
Yeah, I think everybody, well, I do care that these happened. And I think it makes it a lot easier that Coach Harbaugh is not there anymore. You're no longer trying to defend a coach that is on staff. The question I have is, who are the other four coaches? They mentioned five, and I think we can all do the math and say one of them was Harbaugh, but who are the other four? Where are they now? Yeah, yeah, the show cause.
I would assume, not been reported, Sherrill Moore was suspended last year. I would assume he would be one of the coaches they would be looking at with a show cause. Can't confirm it's him, but I mean, that'd be my guess. And you're right, who are the other ones? I don't know. People are waiting for a hammer to come down. This is not including any of the sign stealing stuff. And I don't know.
Right, this is for the initial suspension that Jim Harbaugh served last year for the first three games.
Yes. So this is the full scope, full punishment of that from the NCAA. That is now case closed. I know Ward had a quote yesterday. We can move forward. There is still the other incident, sign stealing, Connor Stallions, that Harbaugh was later suspended for that has not had punishment from the NCAA. If you're already on probation for this and then they add more on top of it, do you get hit harder? Will we see scholarship reductions or some form of additional punishment?
Well, it'll all depend on when they actually come down with that. Are they still on probation at that point? These don't happen quickly. If it happens in another 2-3 years, like what impact will that have, knowing that this happened? And at that time, it's going to be so long ago.
Well, and that's why I asked the question, do you care? I know there's a reputation of the University of Michigan that takes a hit when you are a cheater, when you get punished by the NCAA for breaking multiple rules, multiple violations over multiple years. That hurts your reputation. But would you trade a little bit of reputation for trophies in the trophy case? And that's an individual question for Michigan fans. 248-539-9797. We know this about you, John. You are Mr. Morality. You don't want to compromise your morality. You won't even speed on the highway. So to you, the answer is the ends don't justify the means.
No, I mean, you don't want to get there and be labeled a cheater. Now, I don't want to go down the road right now because the investigation is ongoing. We've talked ad nauseum about the sign stealing. And did Jim Harbaugh know or not? He still maintains that he didn't know anything. And I don't think he did.
He was held responsible, though, as the leader of the football team.
Yeah, he's the leader. He's the head of the program. He is the guy that has to answer all the questions. The buck stops. We talk about the buck stopping with Lalonde. The buck stops with Jim Harbaugh as the head coach.
248-539-9797. The idea here is sign stealing, not yet, case closed. This stuff, case closed, they cheated. Now, these aren't level ones, and they were punished, I feel like, according to level two. These are twos and threes?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they were punished accordingly to level twos and level threes, right?
Yeah, and everybody wants to know, what does probation mean? Well, it means in the next 3 years, we're going to be watching, don't do anything. It also means, in terms of the recruiting restrictions, a limited number or a reduced number of official visits. And in an era of, yes, players still want to know, what coach am I playing for? What system am I going to be in? What's the school like? And we can always debate how much of a percentage is going to vary by athlete. But I think the number one factor anymore, at least the highest percentage of that decision, is going to be, how much can you pay me? NIL.
Can you minimize
the impact,
the damage, or the impact of the punishments?
Sure, you can. Yeah.
I feel like if you're a Michigan fan, you had heard for years you couldn't beat Ohio State. And there was always talk of Ohio State cutting corners down there in Columbus. And there was always the talk about the SEC cutting corners down there. And I don't know. I can't speak as a Michigan fan, but I'd imagine that national title run, pretty sweet. I'd imagine winning three straight Big Ten titles, pretty sweet. I'd imagine if all that comes down is, yeah, we can't have as many visits and we're on double secret probation, I can't imagine Michigan fans have a lot of regret.
Well,
as
it's
to
not
how
double secret probation.
It's just regular probation.
It's regular probation.
Yeah.
I love the drama that you put on it, though. Double secret probation.
My point
makes
is
it sound even worse.
It's not that big a deal. So if I'm a Michigan fan, I kind of feel like the ends justified the means. Like I'll have those memories forever. I got to watch my team bludgeon Ohio State three straight years, three straight Big Ten titles. I got to see them beat Alabama in the Rose Bowl in epic fashion. Like, and then I got to watch them beat Washington on the biggest stage and celebrate a perfect season. Like, okay. And even if the sign stealing were to end up being tacked onto this, and because you're already on probation, they were to lose scholarships over it. Hypothetical, John, I feel like Michigan fans, maybe I'm painting with a broad brush, would be okay with that. Now, you have to get off the moral high ground a little bit, which maybe they're not okay with, but all said and done, I think you're okay with it.
Well, it all depends on what they end up saying about the sign stealing, which is completely different than these allegations. And how much did these infractions impact the ultimate outcome of games?
I don't think sign stealing is why they beat Alabama.
No, I'm talking about these allegations. How much did these allegations impact games? I know everybody wants to jump to the sign stealing, and I appreciate your motivation, but
that is the most polite way you could have said that.
But these allegations, how much did they actually help them win games?
This initial batch, you're saying the buying the recruit a cheeseburger outside of the
right
rules.
And watching guys on Zoom as the observing
COVID
workouts.
Yeah. How much did that? Well, so depends who the recruits were and how transformative they were for your program, and did it seal the deal in landing them?
Right, and so there's just more information that we don't know. How impactful were some of these guys? Did these guys end up ultimately choosing Michigan? And were they impactful players?
Do we know who the cheeseburger was bought for? That's not public.
I'm not. I don't know that information. Okay. If it's out there, I it's not something that I've seen.
Okay. I don't know that I've seen it definitively reported either, but like that would matter in terms of like, did it actually help them win Big Ten titles or not? Because COVID was right around the time where things changed. And if it was an impact player, offense, defense, trenches, quarterback, running back, receiver, anybody who made a difference for the football team, it nudged them and pushed them in the right direction.
Or was it a recruit that was already committed? And this is something that happened while they were on campus at that time.
If you're a Michigan fan, we'll wrap with this, and of course we'll read some more ticket texts on the wings and everything else we've touched on, but if you're a Michigan fan, this is batch one of two. Batch one seems to be slap on the wrist, you're going to be all right, you're going to move on. Batch two is where things could get sticky, but as we sit right now, I don't think there should be really any regret if you're a Michigan fan. But you can answer for yourself. It's 97.1.
Hey, Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in Michigan for over 25 years, with a focus on using the highest quality ingredients. You can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. With All Day IPA, here is what you get. Refreshing and deliciously flavorful, easy drinking, and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. Speaking of great times, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game day. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Without Jim Harbaugh, Michigan more cooperative, and a decision, an agreement was reached with the NCAA. Michigan admitting it was more than a cheeseburger, probation fines, and recruiting restrictions following some of the COVID dead period conduct with their coaches.
Yeah, and just to clarify, too, I don't think Michigan ever said it was just a cheeseburger.
Right. But
that was something that was generated on message boards and through the media.
Right. But it is fair to say, accurate statement, Michigan admitted it was more than a cheeseburger. Not that they ever claimed
correct.
It was.
Yes. Yeah, never claimed
but
it was.
But they did cop to some accountability here with the NCAA, and were handed what Greg called an insignificant punishment.
I does not move the needle for me, man. I've seen a lot of memes. You know the meme, the SpongeBob meme where the guy's sleeping, and then the news comes out, and then you're wide awake? Well, I saw that, but the guy's still sleeping, right?
Yeah.
I saw, you know, Homer Simpson falling asleep with the Michigan hat and the national title trophy. Like, this to me does not... The punishment is insignificant next to winning a national championship.
Well, that's the key here. That's why I asked. Like, okay, you're not, quote, clean anymore, but you won a national title. Do you really care? And if I'm a Michigan, I don't think I care.
1-0 binary world, yes, no. My answer is no.
And I think the concern, if there is any here, would be that you're on probation, which doesn't mean a hill of beans of much of anything, unless you have more stuff coming, and we do think there is more coming with the science dealing and the Stallion stuff. Now, Harbaugh is not a part of this anymore. He's out. He was the level one stuff. He's not cooperating. He's in the NFL. Michigan's trying to move forward. That's what Ward said yesterday. We want to move forward. There is still one more domino. Ticket texters are saying, well, I've seen this rumor. They believe the cheeseburger was purchased for J.J. McCarthy. I don't think that's been 100% confirmed. That's been rumor. If it was J.J., is there anybody more significant to Michigan's turnaround, any one player, than the quarterback who converted all those third downs and made the big throw? I'm just, if it is.
I will ask this question then, too. He made his decision on where he's going to go because he got a cheeseburger?
Swiss, provolone.
Okay, come on.
Sharp white cheddar. He did decommit and recommit during the COVID dead period. I'm pretty sure that's confirmable.
I don't think he decommitted. He was the one along with Donovan that was very vocal about keeping the class together.
Oh, I know he was actively trying to keep guys once he was on board.
Yeah.
So, a couple more ticket texts. 248-539-9797. Tarnished national title. Reads a ticket text. John, you knew we were going to get some of these.
Sure.
Harbaugh leaves the team in shambles. Win tainted. Michigan loses their soul chasing a title. Was not signed Mike Valeni, but I think we could maybe draw some comparison. You want to see if that number checks out. Michigan fans should absolutely care, even if only because when the Stallion stuff comes down, it's going to be that much harder because you're already on probation. What's to care about, reads a ticket texter. Contacting a recruit during a dead period, who cares? These infractions are meaningless to me as well as the sign stealing. And then we get to go down the rabbit hole. It's literally not against the rule, blah, 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 blah. Every time they've shown Connor next to Harbaugh, he's never talking to Harbaugh. Harbaugh wouldn't have known. So over it, Hans, the Uber driver.
Oh, Hans, I wonder if Franz is there with him.
Well, one thing about this, too, this continually gets labeled as sign stealing. It's not sign stealing.
Which was
that
allowed.
That is against the rules. That is allowed. It's illegal scouting.
Yes.
So what's the punishment and advantage, John, as you like to go to, of the delta between illegally scouting and, as we are led to believe, coaches get these sideline tapes and they get the information with the signs ahead of the games anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Texter says it was JJ. We all know it. Decommitted and recommitted during COVID to obvious. The best thing that could have happened, it's going to drive Michigan fans nuts every time someone says, yeah, but you had to cheat to do it. It's going to be fun trolling Michigan fans. Well, that's saying the quiet part out loud.
Sure.
That's a huge part of this. Costa stopped acting like you're not a Michigan fan. You might not be a slappy, but you bleed blue deep down inside.
Oh, fire up chips.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.